So we saw Barbie and Oppenheimer on the same day in a double bill, like a lot of you. And that combined episode is available now in the feed. But we thought we would publish both sections separately. So if you just want to listen to the Barbie stuff, you're in the right place.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And today we're seeing two movies back to back. It's Barbenheimer, baby.
For anyone who doesn't know what that is, Barbie and Oppenheimer are being released on the same day. It's turned into like a viral film thing where everyone's so excited because they're such different movies, but both huge budgets. And
everyone has admitted that they're going to both. So it's like,
so the kind of thing is, are you going to see them both in one day? Which one are you going to see at first? There's been so much discourse. There's obviously never been a bandwagon Dave and I haven't jumped on. So we've decided to go and see both. For logistical reasons, we're going to see Barbie first, Oppenheimer second, just based on what cinemas we're going to. But we will think about it afterwards and decide if that was the best way to do it. And before we get into it, we're going to talk about Barbie in a minute because that's the one we're seeing first. But just kind of in a general sense, and the whole buzz around it, it gives me so much joy because it's all centered around like, what cinema are you going to? Where are you going? All the cinemas are like getting behind it. And it's just like, I feel like studios have gotten so lazy and just kind of, yeah, people don't really go to the cinema anymore. What can we do about it? They're all on streaming. Like, I almost feel like films have kind of given up a bit. And I think in particular, in this instance, Oppenheimer's actually benefited from the fact that Barbie has gotten such a push because Warner Brothers has put everything behind the marketing of Barbie.
But it's been incredibly clever. The Barbie marketing campaign deserves to win awards.
What it's done is realizing how people consume now, and Dave and I both work in marketing, so we're really interested in it. People consume with very much themselves and their experiences as the center. So Barbie has created like TikTok filters, like when you go and see it in the cinema, there'll be like big Barbie boxes that you can take photos of yourself in. For months there's been all this viral stuff of I'm this Barbie, I'm that Barbie, and it's just really captured the fact that people want to create their own content and also be part of something and be part of something bigger, and it's totally tapped into all that stuff. It's also got all their huge stars out everywhere until the actor strike kind of stopped them. But I think luckily for Warner Brothers, they've gotten most of the big junkets out of the way anyway. They've been everywhere talking about it. Then it's really benefited Oppenheimer, which naturally had a more conservative marketing strategy because like they didn't need it. It's a Christopher Nolan film, like with, you know, people are going to go and see it. It's about World War II. But then I've seen those clips of like Cillian Murphy talking about how he can't wait to see Barbie. You know, they've all tapped in on it.
And Tom Cruise is part of it. Yeah. It just feels like there was great buzz around the cinema, not just these movies. They turned these movies into events, and that's what's so interesting when you compare it to a summer where we saw Indiana Jones come back to the cinema. You know, someone who you would have previously defined as, you know, as capped, like absolute, like senior citizen of the summer blockbuster, and that, you know, disappointed. We saw superhero movies falling flat, you know, and now it's like a biopic about, but the man who created the atom bomb and a toy. product placement movie, essentially becoming the biggest event of the summer.
And you know, the other thing
unexpected
is,
and fantastic.
It's also the thing about people want to be at the center of the discourse because now obviously Oppenheimer wasn't making TikTok filters or anything like that, but because it's become which are you going to see first, when are you going to see it, everyone's engaging in the conversation. Like even on our Instagram, I was like putting up polls which you're seeing first. The amount of people responding, like everyone feels like they can kind of contribute to the conversation, and that's a wonderful thing. And I hope all the studios and everyone else like takes away from this that like people will go and see films in the cinema if you market them and if you engage the audience. And like with Indiana Jones, like you can't just wheel out Harrison Ford and get him to go to a few red carpets anymore. Like that actually just doesn't work, and you can't do it, and you need to be clever, and like you need to just put your money where your mouth is and do it properly, right?
But underneath it all, you need a good movie as well.
I mean, they're both getting really positive reviews, so we're really pumped to see them both.
I will say, I think studios will take the wrong lesson from this, as always. But let's talk about Barbie now, because this is really interesting, because on the subject of studios and companies taking the wrong lesson, this movie's going to be an enormous hit. That's clear now. And I'm very excited to see it. But what's weird is Mattel... I think it was the New York Times or Google it anyway. Look, Google Mattel's like cinematic universe or whatever they're building. Mattel, who own Barbie, have like basically outlined their plans for something like 40 plus of their properties turning into movies. And some of it is just bizarre and weird, like Uno, like a movie about Uno, the card game.
It's like, it didn't work. We all watched Clue. And that was actually at least had a murder mystery to it. Cards, like it doesn't work.
I just feel like I just feel like the wrong lesson is going to be taken from this thing. However, right off the bat, they clearly are taking gambles with their properties, allowing filmmakers, interesting filmmakers, to do interesting things with their properties. So I mean, they're at least starting off on the right foot.
If they don't make Uniforce and like Barbie isn't in the Uno world or whatever, you know what I mean? I want my films to be separate. I'm sick of multiverses and everything layering into everything else. We but just are. On Barbie, I'm so excited to watch Barbie. Very big fan of Greta Gerwig as a filmmaker, as a writer. I think she's absolutely wonderful. I love that her and Margot Robbie worked so much together on this. They've made it very clear that they never wanted Barbie to just be like, okay, Margot Robbie kind of looks like what you think about when you think of a Barbie, but that Barbie was not about a certain body type or certain skin color or anything like that. Like, they've just done a very conscious effort around casting to make sure that you see lots of different bodies on screen. I can't wait to see Ryan Gosling. I think he looks amazing as Ken. And I'm just really excited. Like, you know, it's just, it looks, there's been so much buzz about it. It looks great. Like, I've seen
I'm more
so
excited
much
for this than Oppenheimer.
I'm more excited for this than Oppenheimer as well, but I'm actually really excited for the whole thing. Like, yeah. I can't separate them in my mind anymore.
Yeah.
I can't.
Such a weird thing.
But then I
that
think
I did
like,
not think would happen.
I think of like my dad as an example of someone who won't have heard a second about Barbie and Oppenheimer being anything to do with the two of them, and he'll just be like, oh, I want to see Oppenheimer. Like, there'll be people who only want to see one of them as well, and we can't forget that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And as I said at the top of this episode, if you do want to skip Barbie, go straight to Oppenheimer. You've got the time
got
codes there
code.
In the show notes.
Now we're going into Barbie in a few minutes, and then we're going to be in our car. We're going to drive to the next cinema, so we'll record our Barbie review in the car.
Yeah. So see you soon.
Bye.
Hey Barbie, can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool. You can find me under the
lights, diamonds under my eyes. This is the best day ever.
It is the best day ever. So is yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever. Yes! You guys ever think about dying?
When my heart breaks.
Some things have been happening that might be related. When my world shakes. Cold shower.
Ooh.
Falling off my roof. Ah! And my heels are on the ground.
Flat feet!
Okay, we're back. We have just seen Barbie and we are in the car driving straight to Oppenheimer.
Yes, our multi-cinema Barbenheimer experience continues.
I'm so excited. I can't.
What a time to be alive!
Dave, thoughts on Barbie before we get to Spoiler Street? Just your thoughts on how do you feel about the movie?
You're hosting now, right? You have to tell everyone that if it's their first time at the cinema, we don't spoil the movie until we drive onto Spoiler Street.
Yeah.
And then if you're here for the Oppenheimer bit, then there's the time code, which you should have heard at the beginning, or it's in the notes where you can skip ahead for that.
Uh-huh.
So. Barbie, okay. So, I was, as you know, as I said at the top, very excited for this movie. More excited than Oppenheimer. Okay, so my expectations were actually super high for this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think. I think it was very, very entertaining. I found it very funny. I laughed a lot. I really admire the production design of this movie. The way they just brought this plastic world to life. It feels very, you know, it's very meta. This is, you know, the movies that are the big hits these days are, we're in the world of meta now. You've got Across the Spider-Verse commenting on Spider-Man's place in pop culture and pop history. This movie feels like a blend of Toy Story and the Lego Movie. I think they feel like progenitors to this. It is a movie that comments on Barbie's legacy, on Barbie's place in modern society, and it tackles a lot of interesting ideas in a fun and novel way. I think Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach did a fantastic job pulling all this, pulling this madness, and it is mad, into some semblance of a movie plot that is funny and entertaining. And I think she deserves so much credit as a director because she did an incredible job.
Are you gearing up for a but?
I've got a but. I'll talk about it more in Spoiler Street, but I think there's a lot of missed opportunities here. This movie hints at having a real emotional heart to it. It introduces a number of characters who I assumed would be the heart of the movie, and I think it drops the ball there. I think its ultimate message is a little bit muddled and all over the place, but it doesn't, for me, detract from what is an incredibly unique and entertaining and funny experience, and I would watch that again in a heartbeat.
I would watch it again in a heartbeat, and I'm actually going to watch it again in 2 days, my mom and sisters.
My God, well, we didn't talk about what an event this movie. I mean, we talked about it at the top about like the film world is talking about Barbenheimer weekend, but this is converting to bums on seats. Like, our cinema has never been that packed, has it?
No, it was unbelievable. And it was probably 80% minimum women in the room as well, women and girls. But I think, just on the set design piece, it's so incredible when the screen lit up with this world. And obviously we've seen all the promotions and all the trailers, but actually none of that did justice to, like, living in the Barbie world. Did you see that it actually featured in our Architect's Digest?
No.
Yeah, like the magazine actually, the set featured in that.
Oh, wow. They did. Sorry, the production designers and the set designers of this blew, like, they absolutely blew it out of the water. They deserve an Oscar.
It was stunning.
Yeah.
So it looked incredible. The music was unreal. I saw that Mark Ronson did the music.
I didn't know it would have musical numbers, and they were brilliant.
They were so good. Yeah. Margot Robbie is just, like, beyond perfect as Barbie casting. I can't conceive that anyone else could have ever done the role. Ryan Gosling as Ken is possibly one of my favourite film performances of all time.
So funny.
He was so wonderful, and it reminded me that he was, like, a Disney Club kid, wasn't he, back in the day?
Yeah, him and Britney Spears, right? And
like, he's a singer
Justin
and dancer.
And
Which, and I know he did, God, what's that, a Hollywood 50s movie? La La Land.
La La Land.
I know he's in that, and he's obviously brilliant in La La Land, but this is like a completely different singing and dancing vibe for him. He's incredible, he's such a performer. And then it's like, what a cast, like the amount of actors in this film. I didn't know Will Ferrell was in it, and he's absolutely fantastic in it. America Ferrera, I love her. We love Issa Rae on this podcast, so to have her in it. Then we have, who's the guy from the...
Simu Liu. From Shang-Chi. He was brilliant.
He was so good. Then we've got the new Doctor Who, whose name I can't remember. We had... Was it Michael Cera?
Michael Cera's in there, yeah.
Unreal cast. Absolutely unreal cast. So all of that was, like, just wonderful. I loved the buzz of it, the energy of it. I enjoyed... The plot actually really surprised me. I've seen a bit of a trailer for it, but I didn't really know where the plot was going to go on it, and I think that might be deliberate. I really enjoyed the plot. I agree with you on, like, I think they took what I think I really like about the film is it took routes I wasn't expecting and spent time in moments that I wouldn't necessarily have spent time in. And that I could feel our audience, which was a lot of teenage girls, losing interest. Like, you could feel the moments when the chatter was coming in, or in Dave's case, the girl next to him was taking selfies of herself.
Some teenagers are very badly behaved at the cinema. Not to sound like the oldest I've ever sounded in my life, but those two next to me would not shut up.
But I think this actually speaks to the point that it's probably bringing in teenagers who never go to the cinema and aren't in the habit of going to cinema, because it wasn't really, like, that well behaved. But I also remember when I was a teenager, like, me and my friends chatted through movies anyway, and if we'd had camera phones, we probably would have been filming ourselves. But there was definite
moments in the film that felt very adult and existential and that weren't landing with the teenagers. But I actually don't mind that, because I like that Greta Gerwig is very ambitious and was just going deep. And I love that she did that, actually. Even though it went places I probably wasn't expecting, I actually really enjoyed all of it. And I know you said you didn't feel like it was emotional or you didn't feel it landed. It did land for me. I love the overarching message of the film, which is basically Barbie's fixed feminism and then kind of learning what feminism is and just having such a feminist lens. I loved that personally. And I think I'm so happy. I just had so much joy to be in a film, in this film, watching all this on screen. And like, I had a lot of the Barbies that were being referenced, or my friends had a lot of the Barbies, and in particular my friends would have had a lot of their like really cool like camper vans and stuff, and I would have just so coveted as a kid. So I recognized more than I would have thought of in terms of them. And there's some very funny references to like cancelled dolls. Like, I definitely remember the pregnant one, and she had this creepy little baby inside her tummy, and like that was very funny to see on screen. So yeah, I got such a kick out of it. Yeah, it was very special, actually. I can't wait to go back to my mom and sisters and just to see such big budget like female movie on screen. It's very unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. And look, I think let's get to a spoiler stream now, because I really want to talk about the plot, which I think is probably the most interesting bit for me. So spoilers now, big warning now, if you haven't seen Barbie, spoilers for Barbie.
So first thing I want to spoil is, and I don't know if people know that this is the plot, and I definitely didn't know that this is the plot, and I loved it, is that we knew from the trailers, from all the promo materials, that like Barbie and Ken go to the real world, which is so much fun when they enter the real world and they're so vivid and colourful and the world is so bleak. What I didn't know was going to be the plot is that Ken, the brilliant Ryan Gosling, who'd been very disrespected and ignored in Barbie land or Barbie world, whatever it's called, discovers the patriarchy and then brings it back. That is so funny.
Genius. Yeah, and I didn't know that either, and it was brilliant. The fact that Ken is like nominally the villain of this movie is so clever. And I think, you know, to pick up your point about what you said a minute ago about the premise of this movie is so funny and relevant and clever and self-aware that, like you said, in Barbie land they think that they have fixed feminism and that everything's great, and I love that. And that in Ken is the sidekick in the world of Barbie, always has been.
And it's so cool, because you know there'll be so many young girls at the cinema there today who have never heard of the patriarchy and that actually won't know what it's, they'll understand what it means about it's a man's world and all that stuff, but they won't have actually like heard of terms like that. It's like introducing feminist language into what is a very mainstream film. I found that brilliant.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. They mined not only like a clever bit of conflict out of it, but it was really funny as well, like watching him go into a school library and pick up like a book about trucks and horses. Like the movie pokes fun at traditional perceptions of masculinity a lot as well, and I found all that absolutely wonderful.
And the movie also acknowledges that the way it was at the beginning when Barbies ruled everything and Kens didn't have a vote, like that was fucked up as well. Like Barbies are like, we fixed feminism, but all they did was, all the Barbies did was live in a world that they ruled. Like, no one was getting a good deal. Now, but they, like, obviously in the real world, women do have a vote and have a say. So, like, it was worse for Ken's in Barbie world than it is worse in our world, which I really enjoyed as well.
And that's what, by the end of the movie, they're like, they basically say, I think America Ferrera or somebody says, you know, oh, Ken's are now going to exist, like, as women exist now, as, like, almost second-class citizens, but they at least have made progress. Do you know what I mean?
I love when he's, like, somehow absorbing the patriarchy history and he sees like all the visuals of Sylvester Stallone in his like big mink coat.
There was a lot of Sylvester Stallone stuff in there.
I think there must have been a Ken that actually had a mink coat or something, because so much of it was referencing the real dog.
No, I don't know. I thought that was straight from that Sylvester Stallone picture. Like, it's like if you tried to explain to an alien, like, oh, here's our world and here's the patriarchy, now you do it. Like, that's what it felt like. The little details of it were so funny. There's so many funny jokes in here about the relation, you know, like men come inside and I'm going to play my guitar at you.
Oh my god, it was so fun. And like my favorite bit of the whole film was like, I'm just Ken, anywhere else I'd be a 10.
That musical number so was incredible. Did you say Mark Ronson did the music?
I saw that he did the music. I don't know who wrote the song, but that he was like,
That's like the best musical number of the year.
When all the Kens, because all the Kens are absolutely unbelievable. When all the Kens, first of all, they have, I just love that the women realize that the way to bring the men down is like, oh, just make them fight each other because men will do that.
Yeah.
So they start having a battle scene.
Their war was so funny.
It was like Battle of the Bastards. And then they kind of meet and just move into a dance number because they're much more comfortable with that. And the dance number was absolutely gorgeous. And that's one of the things I want to say about Greta Gerwig as a director is she can direct fight scenes, she can direct dance scenes. Like, she is something else. Like,
she, like, I've seen some of her movies and it is just, she's always been very firmly in the sort of familiar indie camp. This is just like, yeah, as you say, it's bold and bright and colourful and has, yeah, a lot of physicality, musical scenes. Like, this is a huge undertaking. Yeah. She smashed it.
And the fact that her and Noah Baumbach wrote this film, the fact that she directed it, the fact that Mattel, the funniest thing about the other villain in this movie is Mattel, who are the people who own Barbie and who actually would have, like, are behind this film. The fact that Mattel are also the villains and that Mattel are the bad guys is absolutely wonderful self-awareness. Will Ferrell's the CEO of Mattel, and I just absolutely love the scene when they show us the boardroom of Mattel and it's just all men in black suits and they're like talking about glitter and female empowerment. Like, that is actually, I think a lot of companies wouldn't let that happen.
Can I tell you, I have a problem with this though, okay? Now, all that stuff was very funny. Will Ferrell and his board members and like roller skating into the world. Like, there's a lot of very funny stuff there. Although, firstly as well, I mentioned the Lego movie. This feels very like the Lego movie, and Will Ferrell was also the head of the corporation in the Lego movie, who was both in the real world and
really?
The fantasy world. Yeah.
Oh, I've never watched much of it.
An odd coincidence. But
maybe intentional.
Yes, maybe. But I found that a bit tricky because the movie posits that this is Barbie Land, this is the real world, okay? And I'm like, okay, so she's coming into the real world. I'm like, okay, now we're in the real world and we're out of Barbie Land. So I like fantasy and reality, you know, there's a clear separation. But then suddenly we're in the boardroom of Mattel, and that's kind of its own sub-fantasy land, do you know what I mean? Where they are aware of all their, that their properties exist in an alternate dimension.
Yeah, but it's
dimension.
Not the real, real world. Like, it's a fictionalized version of Mattel.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's not the real, real world. And that threw me, because I'm like, oh, so we're just in, it's not the real world. This is a hyper fantasy version of the real world. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's okay,
so,
though.
Well, I guess it is okay, but it required an extra level of mental gymnastics I had not prepared for. So, yes, good and surprising. However, and here's, this leads into one of my problems with the movie. It pulls the reality of the setting, it makes it less real. And for me, I thought where this movie was going, and it's fine that it didn't go the way I thought, but I thought it was going to stay in the real world and that it's going to be about America Ferrera and her daughter, and that they are going to be the emotional crux of this movie. Because when Margot Robbie is having those, like, sort of flashbacks of those memories and being played with, I was getting super Toy Story vibes, and
I think
it was making me well up.
I think
like,
the montage was like straight out of Toy Story, of the toy. It was like probably deliberate,
well,
not
exactly.
Toy Story.
But I was like, wow, this is going to be powerful, and it's going to get me. And then they sidelined those two characters. They get absolutely sidelined. And I think it's to the movie's detriment. Now, what it was surprising that they obviously chose to make it more about Margot Robbie and her character's emotional arc. But she is not real. And the whole thing about her becoming real, I think at the end, I think is weird and not well handled. Her creator coming out is just a bit, it's like, it's a bit all over the
that
place.
The creator
too many
scene,
ideas.
The creator scene is where the entire audience fell off a cliff and our set, everyone was started talking, and like, you could just feel that everyone was like, what's happening?
But it lost me as well. I'm like, what are you trying to say here, movie? Like, that bar, and I just felt like it was all a little muddled. And I felt like the movie would have been more interesting if they had focused more on America Ferrera's sort of insecurities as a woman, which is what they seemed like it was kind of doing. But then it just, she just becomes this kind of accomplice to a weird heist. So I'm not saying that anything that we got is bad. It's, as I said, it's brilliant. It's very entertaining. I just felt like it wasn't what I was expecting, and I think it would have been more powerful to root it more in the emotional experience of those two women.
I mean, yeah.
Real women. Do you know what I mean?
Well, fine.
The daughter character completely had nothing to do.
I think America Ferrera actually wasn't sidelined and had a ton to do, and she was actually crucial in the unraveling of the patriarchy. It's actually the daughter that was sidelined. But they deliberately sidelined the daughter, which I thought was interesting, because Barbie's like, I'm here to help this girl. And then Barbie's like, wait, it was the mom I was having memory
of.
That was
a good twist as well.
That was the twist. So I think the daughter was actually at that point consciously and deliberately sidelined, and it became about the mother, and the mother had kind of forgotten herself, and it was about that. I didn't mind any of that, and I like when movies take me where I'm not expecting, though I think a lot of the audience would agree with you in that they didn't like it. But I actually really liked at the end that Margot Robbie's character was like, I can't live in Barbie Land anymore, like, she's too conscious, so she decides to move to the real world. And right at the end we think, oh, she's got a job, she's gonna start a job. And then I think they answer the question that it's certainly I've been thinking about, because she'd made a point of acknowledging earlier on in the movie that she'd no genitalia. I just love that it ended on her going to a gynecologist's office.
I mean, that's funny. It was a good gag. Yeah.
It was, but it was actually, I had been thinking it because she'd gone on earlier about how they don't have any genitalia. So I just think that I like that the movie totally surprised me and landed in a totally different place than what I thought. Again, I agree with you. I thought it was going to be all about America Ferrera. But it's the Barbie movie. Like, you're saying she's not real, but Barbie's the central character and the protagonist of this film. She is real in the film, and she becomes human in the end. She is the main character. America Ferrera is not.
Yeah, okay, but they did a pretty good job of trying to tie up a third act resolution. They even comment on it, like, wait, what is Barbie's ending? And people make suggestions.
And I think the point is, though, like, at the start of the film, like, Will Ferrell and those men are like, we need to put Barbie back in her box. And the point is, she's got her own consciousness now. She needs to make her own decisions. And I actually think, prior to the film slightly derailing and confusing us at the end, is the kind of the point, which is that she's chosen her own journey. It's not where you thought the film was going to end up, and it's just different, and she's not getting back in the box. And I think that's the message of it.
I think the film has to work a lot harder to make, and I think Margot Robbie did a good job, but the film has to work a lot harder to make you care emotionally, be invested in Barbie and Ken as two-dimensional characters who are very entertaining and fun, rather than focusing on the human characters, which I think would have been preferable.
But I'll be interested to see what our listeners think about the ending, because I do think it is divisive, and I definitely felt it in the room. But I think ultimately the whole film as a whole surprised me, because it's not just the kind of flashy, bright Barbie. And in some ways I think losing people wasn't good, but in another way I kind of like that it's almost like stealth slipped in some surprising scenes. And I think the reference to and I really enjoyed the reference in the film to men explaining The Godfather to women was so funny. And I love,
there's some really funny stuff.
Yeah, like, come on, the amount of men who've tried to talk to me about The Godfather, and I've repeatedly been like, well, I just don't really like it, like, and they can't accept it. And I just love that she brought that up. Now, the Zack Snyder joke fell like an absolute lead balloon in our audience. Not a single person laughed, and I don't think
I didn't laugh either. Yeah. I got the reference. It wasn't funny. Anyway, look, we need to move on. So we're drawing a line under Barbie now. We're looking for a parking spot here for the next leg of our experience.
All my life been so polite, cause I'm just kidding. Anywhere else I'd be ten. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blonde fragility?